the midst of it. But we're so blessed to have each of y'all in our church, and we love each and every one of you. We've got Brother Chris Arnold preaching for us this morning. We'd like to ask you, come on, take your liberty, brother. Praise the Lord.
Amen. God is good, amen.
Yes, amen.
All the time. Hallelujah. That's one of my favorite songs. Help me want the healer more than the healing.
Amen.
Very first time I heard that song, I got to thinking about how too many times we want what's in God's hands more than we want God. Think about it. We want to be healed. I want to feel better, Lord. Help me just to want you, Lord. That'll solve all your problems. All your issues, all your struggles, He is the answer. Yes. Amen. Yes. I've said many times, He is the cure for any disease that you can face. Amen.
Amen.
I feel the Spirit of the Lord in this place, and whoo, I'm telling you what, God's going to do something. Amen. God's going to do something in this house. Every song that was sung this morning falls in line with what God's going to tell us. That's how you know you're in the will of God. As I began to seek God about a message for this morning, and as a minister, you want to be sure that you know that you know that you know that you have a word from the Lord. As I told somebody yesterday, I said, you know, as a banker, you deal with people's money. As working in the food service, you deal with people's food. As a minister, you deal with people's souls. And you want to make sure that you hear from God. This message God put in my heart, and it's funny how God just kind of drops things in your heart, and He'll drop a nugget here and a nugget there, and they all come together. And I can tell you, last night as I woke up many times during the middle of the night, I just heard God whisper the same thing into my ear over and over and over again. And it's almost like it was turning over in my spirit. And I could feel that. And as I woke up this morning, the first thing in my mind was what God was trying to tell me. It was just going over and over and over in my spirit. As you take your Bibles, turn to Ezekiel chapter number 37. I'm going to read just a few verses. Very familiar passage of Scripture. I've actually heard this passage of Scripture preached on very numerous occasions in very different ways. All were blessings to me, but what God has to show us today is for us. Amen? Look at your neighbor and say, this is for me. Look at your neighbor on the other side, the one you don't like. They say, this is for me. Amen. Hallelujah. This is for me. Ezekiel chapter 37 and verse number 1. The Bible says, the hand of the Lord was upon me and carried me out in the Spirit of the Lord and set me down in the midst of the valley which was full of bones. And He caused me to pass by them round about, and behold, there were very many in the open valley, and lo, they were very dry. And He said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I said, O Lord God, Thou knowest. Father, we thank You for Your word, Lord. We thank You for Your Spirit, God. We thank You for the freedom that we can openly worship You in spirit and in truth, Father. Lord, we ask that Your word would go forth, Father God. Lord, use these lips of clay, Father God. Anoint this voice, Father God, to speak Your word, Father. Anoint ears and hearts to hear and receive Your word, Father God. Lord, make us different than when we came, Father God. Make us changed by the power of God. And we'll forever be grateful and give You the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Praise the Lord.
The saying that God kept saying over and over to me was, can these bones live? And I said, O Lord God, Thou knowest. Now the prophet here is offered a question that he doesn't have the answer to. I want to give you a little backdrop of what's going on here. There is a valley that's full of bones. Back in this time, they took their bones and they would lay them out in fields and they would wait for everything to be rotted off the bones before they could be buried. So what they were doing was, this was a valley full of dead people. This was a valley full of dryness. The Bible says that they were very dry. So they had been in this condition for a long time. They had not just been in the condition overnight, but they had been in the condition for a long time. Many of you today are in the dry state and have been there for a long time. To the point to where your bones are very dry. Yes, you come to church every Sunday. Yes, you come to church every Wednesday. Yes, you come when there is a special event. But what has happened? You're still dry. How can a person come to church 52 times a week, a year on Sunday? 52 times a year on Wednesday? Come on special occasions and still be dry? The answer is because there is an idol in your life. There is somebody sitting on the throne of your life whose name is not Jesus. Now, we throw out the name idol on everything. Y'all have seen the show American Idol. Instead of stars, we don't call them stars anymore. We call them idols. Things that we can idolize. Things that we can cherish. Whether it be our loved one. Whether it be our mate. Whether it be our soulmate. Whether it be a car. Whether it be a house. Whatever it might be. It sits on the throne of our heart and it takes place of Jesus. And God says, I will have no other gods before me. He is a jealous God and He will have no other gods before me. So what happened to Israel right here? Let's go back and look at verses Ezekiel 36, the chapter back. Let's see what happens. Why did they have no hope? Why did they have no joy? Why did they have no strength? Ezekiel chapter number 36, beginning in verse number 16. The Bible says, Moreover, the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, when the house of Israel dwelt in their own land, they defiled it by their own way and by their own doings. Their way was before me as an uncleanness of a removed woman. Wherefore I poured my fury upon them for the blood that they had shed upon the land, and for their idols wherewith they had polluted it. And I scattered them among the heathen, and they were dispersed through the countries. According to their way and according to their doings, I judged them. Too many times we forget God's going to judge you. God will judge you. You will make an account for every idle word that you say. For every action that you do, you will give an account for that. Amen? In verse 20, And when they entered unto the heathen, whither they went, they profaned my holy name. And they said to them, These are the people of the Lord, and are gone forth out of His land. You see, we've set God on the back burner. We've said, God, we don't need you anymore in our services. God, we don't need you in our life anymore. God, just give me 4 songs and a 15-minute sermon and I'll be good for the whole week. That's not what we need. We need to get a hold of God once again. We need to have a relationship once again. It's time that we come back to the Lord. It's time that we quit being dry. It's time that we quit sitting there, acting like everything's okay. It's time that we take the mask off. Come on, somebody. Somebody's listening right now. It's time that we take that mask off and we say, God, I need you more than anything. More than anything. I'm tired of walking through this dry ground, Lord. I'm tired of fighting this battle, Lord. God, I need you. I need you, Lord. Hallelujah. I need you. Somehow, they forsook Him. Maybe they didn't intend to. But they set Him to the side. And they said, God, we're still going to go through the motions. We're still going to come to church, Lord. And we still love You, but we're dry. Deep down inside, we feel like we're just a bunch of bones. Amen? We just feel like, God, I remember the joy. Restore unto me what David said in Psalm 51. Restore unto me the joy of my salvation. Restore that unto me, Lord. Make me to live again, Lord. One of my favorite all-time movies happens to be a Christmas movie. It's called It's a Wonderful Life. Anybody ever seen that movie? It's been out for years and years. That's one of my favorite all time. And I can quote almost every line in that movie. My wife will tell you, I can quote it almost every line. And I remember at the very end of that movie, the long story short was, he was given a chance to where he wasn't alive. And to see how different the world was if he wasn't alive. And I remember he was, at the very end of the movie, he was looking over towards the waters on the bridge. And he said, God, help me to live again. Help me to live again. And he was crying and he said, God, help me to live again. There's people in this church and the sound of my voice that are saying, God, help me to live again. Help me to live again. Lord, I remember what it was like when I first got saved. I wanted to tell everybody. God, I remember what it was like to be on fire and to have that river of living water flowing out of my belly, God. And I want that restored again, God. But let me tell you what you got to do. You got to get the bad out. You got to get the bad out. Those things, those secret sins that you've been hiding, you got to get those out. You got to get them out. I'm telling you, you got to get them out. Only God can fix the dryness. Ezekiel 37:3. Again, he said unto me, Son of man, can these bones live? And I answered, O Lord God, thou knowest. Picture yourself, you're in a valley of bones. It doesn't make any sense. All you can see for as long as you can see is bones. Death is everywhere. You're in a valley of death. Hallelujah. Isn't it amazing that David wrote in Psalm 23, Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I will fear no evil, Lord, because you are with me. Thy rod and thy staff that are meant for correction, they comfort me. Why? Because I know when the enemy comes into attack, God, you're going to run them off. Hallelujah. In verse number 7, something begins to happen. So I prophesied as I was commanded. And I prophesied and there was a noise. Somebody say there was a noise. And behold, a shaking. And the bones came together. Bone to bone. In other words, he started saying, thus saith the Lord, you're going to live, bones. You're going to live, bones. I know that you thought that you were headed to the grave, but that ain't your final destination. Your final destination is not, can I let you in on a secret? It is not the grave, honey. You didn't come here to die. You came here to live. My Bible says, hallelujah, that he came that you could have life and have it more abundantly. That's the kind of life we seek. Don't give me a motivational speaker. Give me Jesus. Hallelujah. Don't give me some empty promises at the bottom of a beer can. Give me Jesus. Don't give me all that junk the world has to offer. Don't give me a pill. Don't give me drugs. Don't give me pornography. Don't give me prostitution. You give me Jesus. Hallelujah. You're seeking something in your life. Let me let you know something. God created you in the likeness of His image. With the ability to worship. Why do we go to drugs? Why do we go to alcohol? Do you know why? Because it's trying to fill that void in our life. We're trying to fill that void. We were created to worship Him. My Bible says that if I'm quiet, the rocks are going to cry out in my place. I'm not going to be quiet. I might be in the valley of dry bones, but let me tell you something. I'm going to start saying, thus saith the Lord. Live. Hallelujah. Live. Live. Somebody needs to shake themselves. Shake himself. It's time to quit being dry. You say, Brother Chris, it's always been this way. It's always going to be that way. As long as you've got the stinking thinking, it's going to be that way. I love quotes, and I've told you before, I love quotes and I love sayings. One of the famous people of our modern time, Henry Ford, I believe it was, he said, whether you think you can't or you can, you're right. Whatever you think you can do, you're right. If you think you can't do it, you're right. You've already made that up into your mind. I can't do it. I can't do it, Lord. And God's saying, you know what? You're right. You can't do it. But I think I read in Philippians chapter 4 and verse 13 where it says, I can. I can. That's the first part. Do all things through Christ who strengthens me. He strengthens me day by day. His mercies are new day by day. I go down to the river. Woo, man. When I hear a song and it starts talking about going down to the river, I went down to the river. Honey, I've been down to the river and I'm going to stay just a little while because I've been in the dry times and I'm going to stay in the river for just a little bit longer. Hallelujah. I'm going to dip my feet a little longer. I'm going to go a little deeper in God's love. Hallelujah. Oh, taste and see that He is good because He is good. No matter what's come your way, no matter what trial, what heartache that you faced that's gotten you in that valley, you give it to God. There's a reason you're in that valley. It didn't just happen. It didn't just happen. It doesn't just happen. You're in the valley for a reason. Learn the lesson and come out of the valley. There's an old song that says, I'm coming out with the valley with my hands up. I'm praising the Lord. I ain't going to let the devil get me down no more. He ain't getting me down no more. Things begin to move. Things begin to shake. Things begin to stir up. But it's still not right. Psalms 51, chapter number 6. Turn there right quick, if you will. 51 and 6. David, it said that he was a man after God's own heart. In verse 1, he says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. Woo! Thank God it wasn't according to my loving kindness, but it was according to His loving kindness. Wow. According unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Woo! Come on, somebody. If you say you ain't sinned, you're a liar and God's not in you. That's what the Word says. That's what the Word says. Hallelujah. Peter came to God. Let me say this. Peter came to God and God said, you need to be freed from all your bondages. Peter said, Lord, we have never been under bondage. And God said, buddy, when I first saw you, you was under bondage. You had to be let free. Hallelujah. Let us never forget where we came from. Amen. And where we're going to. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity and cleanse me from mine sin. Wash me thoroughly. Let me tell you something. The other day, a couple weeks ago, I wear jeans to work. And for you guys that are around car parts, you know that there's certain parts of cars that stink. Yeah. I'd picked up a transmission, and I have a bad habit when I pick them up, I put them on my hip to tote them because it takes the weight off your back. This transmission wasn't drained. And suddenly I felt the warm fluid of transmission fluid go down my leg. It burns a little bit at first, but it smells. Yeah. It leaves a stink. So the first thing that went through my mind was my wife is going to absolutely kill me. She is going to kill me because she's going to have to run this pair of clothes through that washing machine several times to get it clean. And let me tell you something. I come home and I said, honey, I got bad news. What is it? And I told her. She said, oh my goodness, I'm going to have to wash that thing several times. She put it in the washing machine and washed it and washed it and washed it and washed it and washed it. She washed it until it was clean. You can't even smell it anymore. That's what God does to us. Wash me, God, thoroughly. Wash me over and wash me over and wash me over again and over again and over again. Sometime you've been playing around with your cousins in a pool and they try to dunk you under and you think, man, I'm going to drown. Sometimes we think as Christians, God, I'm going to drown if you keep washing me. But God, continue washing me. Get everything out, Lord, that doesn't smell like you, that doesn't look like you, that doesn't act like you, God, because I realize something. I realized something in my wise old age. When I walk outside in the summertime and I start doing things, I become stinky. I stink because I am a human. I am a human. That's what we do. We stink. God, I don't want my smell to be stinking unto you. I don't want my spirit to be stinking unto you. God, forgive me. Wash me thoroughly. God, this is me. It's me and it's me, Lord. Wash me thoroughly. I want every thought that comes into my mind to be pleasing unto you, God. Everything I say to be pleasing unto you, God. You say, Brother Chris, that's ridiculous. I don't want to bring disgrace or dishonor to my Savior. He died for me.
I want to make him happy. Hallelujah. I realize I need to be washed thoroughly. Wash me thoroughly. In verse 3, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Watch this. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Truth in the inward parts. If truth's in here, truth's coming out of here. Come on, somebody. If it ain't in here, it ain't coming out of here. Out of your heart does your mouth speak. You want to hear how smart somebody is? Listen to them speak. Because sometimes it's in the words they don't say. Amen? Give me a right spirit, Lord. John chapter 7, going to the New Testament real quick. John chapter 7 and verse 38. I want to start in verse 37. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, if any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Ooh, that ain't just any water. That's living water. Oh, hallelujah. That's living water. You ever go by summertime, we all hunting for places to swim and to get cool. Amen. Where I'm from, there's springs. There's these springs that flow up out of the ground. And only certain people know how to get to them. Some of them you can only get to by boat. Some of them you can just be walking out through a field and boom, there's a spring. And it can go 200 or 300 feet down in the ground. But it's pure. It's good. And it's fresh water. When I think about the water that God gives us, that Jesus gives, it's pure. It ain't no stagnant lake water. That's some good stuff right there. Hallelujah. Because it's living water. It gives life. And verse 38, and he that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. Hallelujah. I got a river, and it's flowing out of me. People say, Brother Chris, how can you be happy all the time? How can you always come up with these just little corny little jokes? Man, I'm here lately, my wife can tell you, I've had some just off the wall, hilarious, funny, I'm talking about I'm rolling on the floor jokes, but you know what? We're going through right now such a hard time, and we need the joy of the Lord. And I realize something, the joy of the Lord is my strength. Hallelujah. And if I might have to laugh at a corny joke, I'm going to laugh at a corny joke because it's going to keep that river flowing. Hallelujah. I walked into my office the other day after making delivery, and sometimes it's just like the Lord just boom, puts it on me, you know, because if he doesn't, I'll mess it up and I'll try to think it and I'll forget it. But he puts it on me just at the right time. I walked in there and I had a little bit of change in my hand. Walking in, I told my drivers, I said, man, it's a good thing that person paid me. Because before then, I didn't even have any sense. Now I got some sense. Man, I thought, you'll get that later. You'll get that going down the road later. I know you will. But, and you know what? They started laughing. And I thought, man, laughter, it doeth good like a medicine. We don't laugh as Christians near enough. We take things out of context too much. We take things a little too seriously. Now, a friend of mine used to say, don't take life too seriously. Nobody gets out alive. Wow. And you think about, hey, the things we go through in life. You know what's the worst thing that's going to happen to us as Christians? We're going to die and see Jesus. I'm trying to look for a bad in that. I'm trying to see a reason I should be depressed and I can't find it. I'm trying to see a reason I should be down in the mully grubs and I can't find it. To know that Jesus, hallelujah, in John 14:1, he said, let not your heart be troubled. Don't be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions, Brother Thomas. If it were not so, I would have told you. The part I love is I go and prepare a place for you. Yeah. Woo! Hallelujah. Not only did He prepare a place for me, He paid the fare for me. He paid it for me. I couldn't pay it. We're fixing to see that. I couldn't pay it. He paid it for me. He paid it for me so I could believe on Him and have everlasting life. John 3:16. Whosoever. Are you a whosoever? I'm a whosoever. You're a whosoever. We're all whosoevers. Should believe upon the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Shall. Not might or could or hope or maybe or hopefully. Shall be saved. Shall be saved. Saved from what, Brother Chris? Saved from a devil's fire. Hallelujah. Saved from hell. Let me tell you something. If you think hell's going to be a party, you better study up a little bit more on it. It ain't going to be no party. I'll tell you what. If you don't even believe in the Bible, you better study science on what science has to say about hell. It is a real place. It is a real place. Science will always point to the truth. And science even says that hell is a real place. It is a real place. The blood of Jesus. 2 Kings chapter 13. I know we've been going back and forth and back and forth, but you just can't get too much word. And this is one of my favorites, all-time favorite stories right here. I really enjoy this story right here. I want to show you the difference between somebody that is dying and somebody that has left a legacy. There's a difference between dying and leaving a legacy. When you leave a legacy, those behind you have something to hold on to. We talked about a little bit in the Sunday school hour this morning about how when we leave something behind us, who's going to pick up the baton? Who's going to go on? Who's going to keep going? Who's going to pick up that mantle as Elisha did? 2 Kings chapter 13, verse number 20. And Elisha died. How many of y'all know when somebody dies, it's not a happy occasion? Pain, heartache, heartbreak, questions of why. We don't celebrate when people die. We mourn when people die. In the land, as you can read many verses before, in this land, the kings continually did evil in the sight of the Lord. There was no king that did good in the sight of the Lord. Through Elijah's ministry, through Elisha's ministry, the kings were evil. They were evil people. They did wrong. The Bible quotes that and says that. But I want you to watch what Elisha leaves behind. Elisha, this is the very man whose brother Elijah was caught up in a whirlwind. He was there, the Bible says, and then he was not. And Elisha, I'm sure what he was thinking, I'm going to go the same way. I'm not going to die. I'm going to go the same way. The Bible says that he became sick. Of the sickness, we don't know. He was approximately between 85 and 90 years old when he died. But Elisha died, and they buried him. And the bands of the Moabites invaded the land at the coming end of the year. Now, I want you to know something. When you read the Bible, every part of that Bible is important. Every part of that Bible means something. Don't skip over words and skip over chapters because you don't think it's important. Watch what the Bible has to say right here. At the beginning of the next year, they buried him in the fall. This goes by seasons. God's trying to reach out to somebody. At the end of fall, when we go through fall, what do we think? It's fixing to be winter. It's fixing to be dormant. Everything's going to be stagnant. We can't go outside and play in the parks. We can't do things we used to do. Most all of the bushes and all of the grass is dead or dying. Nothing. I have never seen anybody plant anything in the dead of winter to grow. We don't do it. But when the spring comes, what's that represent? Life. New growth. Right? So in the beginning of the next year, the Bible says, see, if you read that too fast, you'll look over that. If you look in the Amplified, it brings it out and says, in the springtime of the next year. In verse 21, the Bible says that they threw a man into the grave. They saw a bunch of people coming. The Moabites saw him coming. And they said, you know what? We're scared. We're running for our lives. We're going to throw this guy who's dead into the grave and just hope for the best. We don't even know whose grave it is. Right? They throw him into the grave. His body comes up. Glory to God. Whew. comes up and it touches Elisha's bones. Hallelujah. And when he touched Elisha's bones, he stood up, the Bible says in verse 21. And he stood up and he was right on his feet again. He brought life unto him. Let me tell you something. You are the person that's on that stretcher that they're hauling off to the grave. And if you don't do something about your condition, God's wanting to help you. You're going to have to stand up. Hallelujah. You're going to have to get a hold of somebody. If you're in a grave, you better start bumping the bones beside you and saying, hey, you know what? That might be a prophet. That might be a prophet. Touched the bones of Elisha. There was still enough anointing, my goodness, in the bones of Elisha to resurrect somebody. Let me tell you something. God doesn't change. He is the same yesterday and today and forever. God, if you can resurrect somebody by touching my bones, God, let them touch my bones. Let them touch my bones. Hallelujah. Bring them up out of that grave, out of that miry pit. He died with that anointing that was upon his life. First of all, I want to say it was a shame that nobody picked up that anointing and went on with it. That's a shame. Nobody wanted to pay the cost and pick up that anointing. Where are the Charles Spurgeons? Where are the Billy Sundays? Where are the Billy Grahams of today? Where are they? You never hear about them. Don't give me a little two-bit sermon. Give me somebody who's teaching about Jesus. Hallelujah. The gentleman I work with was testifying to me just Friday. He said, you know, he said, Billy Graham will always hold a special place in my heart. I said, why is that? He said, I remember I was watching a Billy Graham crusade on TV. He said, I always wanted to go to one, but I was watching him on TV. And he was talking about the thief on the cross. He said, and it felt like God was reaching out and touching me. And I said, glory to God, that's the anointing of God reaching out to somebody that's lost and bringing them in. Hallelujah. This man today has been saved for many years. Thank God for the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Thank God for His hand upon our life. I might be in a grave, but that's not where I'll stay. That's not where I'll stay. I'm coming out of this valley. Hallelujah. And it's time we start dancing over those graves. It's time that we start dancing over those graves and start saying, God, you're going to give me the victory. God, you're going to give me the victory. I'm not going to be dry no more. God, I'm going to start drinking of your water. I'm going to start drinking more and more and more and more and more. I can't get enough. God, my thirst just can't get quenched. I need more and more and more and more and more. You ever been that thirsty? God, I need more of you. God, I got to have more of you. God, I'm seeking more of you. Back to Ezekiel 37, verses number 11. Lost my marker. 37, verse 11. Then he said to me, Son of man, these bones are the whole house of Israel. Behold, they say our bones are dried and our hope is lost. We are cut off for our parts. In the movie, The Pirates of the Caribbean, the very first one, those of you who watched it, Pirates of the Caribbean, the original pirates went and they stole something that didn't belong to them from the other pirates. When they stole that, they had to return what was theirs. But it made the other pirates be skeletons. They were a shell of who they used to be. During the daytime, everything looked fine. During the daytime, you couldn't tell them apart. But when the night came, you could tell. These were skeletons. They had no flesh wrapped around them. They were just bones. They were dry. They were without life. Same situation as in Ezekiel 37. They were dry, without life. There was no way to tell until the night came. When the night comes, it's funny how the night brings truth out. It brings the truth out. I told my boys, I said, you know, people are funny. They don't want you shining a light on their sin. It's kind of like when you go into a garage or a place where there's a bunch of cockroaches and it's at nighttime. If you take a flashlight with you, open the door and you shine the light on them, you know what those cockroaches do? Scatter. That's what people do. Now, I'm just going to be real frank, honest, and true. As ministers, that's why you don't have very many friends. Because when you shine the light on people's sin, they don't want to hear that. And let me tell you something. I'd rather lose a friend and gain a soul in hell than gain a soul in hell. I'd rather see him in heaven. You might not be my friend on the earth, and that's fine with me. But I want to see you over there. I want to see you over there. It's not worth it. Come out of that valley of the dry bones. Come out of that valley of the dry bones. Whatever's keeping you from God. See, what had to happen in the instance of the Pirates of the Caribbean, the captain had to shed his blood. Oh, hallelujah. Had to shed his blood. Well, the captain wasn't available. So they had to give the next best thing. Isn't it amazing? They had to get his son. They had to get the captain's son to reverse the curse. The captain's son shed his blood to reverse the curse. Over 2,000 years ago, on a hill called Golgotha that we don't talk about near enough, there was a man named Jesus. And he shed his blood. Woo! Hallelujah! Just one drop of that blood will cleanse my sins, God. Just one drop of that blood is all it takes to cleanse my sin. He was the perfect sacrifice. He died for me. For me. The Apostle Paul, I think, said it best, and I quote it often. My righteousness is as filthy rags. Is as filthy rags. But he made me righteous. He made me righteous. Not that I think I am somebody, but just so happens I have got an identification card in my back pocket that tells me who I am. It's my driver's license, my social security number. I can punch it in and it tells me who I am. It tells me when my birth date is. It tells me what city I was born in. It tells me my mother's and father's parents' name, and it also tells me who my wife is. You have an identification card. And Jesus holds it in his hand. He says, I know who you are. I know who you were, but I know who you are right now. And I know where you're going because I paid the price for you. Hallelujah. And the blood was shed at Calvary to set me free. To set me free. I am free. I am free. Why would I want to live in bondage anymore? I am free. I am free. One of the best things that ever happened to me was when I accepted Jesus Christ into my, oh, hallelujah, into my life as my Lord and Savior. We can have bones that shake, bones that come together. The old song, what is the old song saying? The foot bone is connected to the ankle bone is connected to the leg bone. I could sing that for hours. We can have bones that come together. But if he doesn't breathe his breath in us, then all we are is like those pirates were, a bunch of bones. That's all we are, a bunch of bones. We're not doing anybody any good. It's time we get it right. You want that passion back you had before? Get all the junk out your life. Get all that junk out your life. Get all that stinking, we talked about in Sunday school, the stinking garbage. Get it out of your life. If there's one thing I've found about garbage, it stinks. It stinks. I've not seen anybody hang around a garbage can just for fun. We don't do that because it stinks. Because we put in stuff in there that's rotting. We want to throw it away. We want to throw it out. Get rid of that stuff. Don't dwell by the garbage can. Kick it to the curb. Get rid of that stuff. That's what we call hauling off the garbage. Haul it off. Get it out of here. You know, a dog throws up and returns back to its throw up. Right? We as Christians, we tend to do that. We go right back to the sin. We say, God, I'm sorry. And all we want is our conscience to be clear. We don't want to be delivered. Amen or oh me. We don't want to be delivered from this. We want to go back to it. We want to say, God, I want to know everything's all right now. I'm going to go right back to it again. We do it day after day after day. Come on, somebody. This is for you. Get it right, people. Get it right. The time has come that judgment must begin in the house of God. And if it begins with us, wherewith shall the unrighteous and ungodly be? If judgment begins with us, it's going to begin with us. We're going to hold account for what we do, for what we say, for the actions we take. We're going to be held accountable for that. Get it right. It's not worth it. You say, Brother Chris, I got tomorrow and I got the next day. No, you don't. You don't. You're not promised tomorrow. Not promised tomorrow. Today is the day of salvation. Today is the day. If you're sitting there and you say, Brother Chris, I was saved years and years and years ago. Come back and get refreshed. Come back into the water and get refreshed. Because that's what you need. If I only drank something one time a day, you know what would happen? And I'm beginning to see this in my life. If I don't drink enough fluids in the summertime, I begin to get real weak and real tired. And I can't hardly hold my eyes open. And I don't want nothing to eat, but I just want to go to sleep because I'm so tired. And it feels like it takes more energy to walk to the car than I have. And I can't even do that. But when I start drinking of that water and it starts refreshing me and reviving me more than caffeine can do, more than anything can do, it starts reviving me. That's what we need to do as Christians. Get back into that water. Start drinking. Start drinking that everlasting life. Amen. Start soaking it up and let it just overtake you. Let it overtake you. I know this message is been for somebody this morning. With your heads bowed and eyes closed, if you'll stand. The things in our life we need to get out, we need to get out. We need to get out. Oh, Jesus. Help us want you, Lord, more than anything, God. Help us want you, Lord, more than anything. These altars are open, Father God, right now. Lord, if there's one here today, Father God, that doesn't know you, Father God, if there's one here today, Lord, that's been in that dry valley, Lord. Oh, God, you know that they can live. Only you can bring life, Father God. Only you have the words of life. As Peter said, Father God, we're going to follow you, Lord. Whatever the need might be, these altars are open. If you have special prayer, if you're hurting in your body, if you need a miracle, there's a miracle worker in the house. He is the way maker. He is the healer. He is the deliverer. He is the strong tower. Yes, you are, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
Thank you.